Hello and welcome to episode 8.5 of World of Podcast, or World of Warcraft podcast. I did mean to have this out a little while ago. I'm sorry, didn't make it. Some things happened. We all know how it goes. Everyone has to deal with it. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the 1.10 live patch, some things that have gone wrong, some things that have gone right, some opinions that some people seem to have on the patch, and just generally stuff to do with that, although I may also mention some stuff that we already do know about 1.11. You're just going to have to listen to find out if I do. Let's get right into it, shall we? One of the first things you might notice is I'm using a slightly different recording method this time. I want to see how this one sounds, and we'll go from there. Please leave me any comments either at my email address, unclethursday@gmail.com, or leave them directly on the comments section of this podcast at worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Obviously, many of us realize that there was an extended downtime due to technical problems with bringing 1.10 live. Some realms, mine included, had a downtime of about 15 hours or more. We got an extra day out of it, nothing we can do. Deal with it, we'll go on. Also in this patch, the Dungeon 2 sets have been released, what's also being known as the Tier 0.5 sets, and these are the upgrades to your blue class set. Now, one of the things I mentioned last time, and I still don't like it, is that the quests to upgrade these are extremely linear. You go from the bracers, then you go to the gloves, then you go here, then you go there. I don't like that. I really, really would much rather just be able to say, hey, I want to upgrade this particular piece, and get the quest to upgrade that particular piece. I don't really see why they made it this way. I don't see an advantage to it being this way, other than, hi, we're going to make a huge time sink until the expansion comes out. That's about the only thing that really seems to make any sense as to why this quest line is done this way. So, we're going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to see how people are going. As far as I know, nobody has completed the last two parts of the upgrade quest, which would be the head and the chest, I believe. So, nobody's really commented on how those quest lines go. Also, with this new Dungeon 2 set, they changed the caps on how many people can enter certain instances. Blackrock Depths, Blackrock Spire, Scholomance, and Stratholm all now have different caps. Whereas before you could take 10 people into BRD and Scholomance and Stratholm, now you can only take 5. And in Blackrock Spire, whereas before you could take 15 people, now you can only take 10. You know, I'd really like to hear some comments from my users about this. I personally could really care less in some ways, because I preferred 5-manning Stratholm. I've said this before. You make a lot more money. It's not extremely hard. It just takes a little while. As long as you have a good group, you're fine. But I also know many people are complaining that they're in smaller guilds and, you know, they can't do even ZG and such. And my guild is in that same boat. My guild cannot do Zul'Garub by ourselves. We just formed a new alliance to do this. And these people, they seem to have a very valid complaint of, we would like to do stuff as a guild and now we really can't, because we like just, you know, going to Stratholm and having some fun there. Now we can't do that. So, send me comments, really. I really want to hear them. Send me them in email. You can even record MP3s and send me that, and I might choose some of the best ones and play them in a future podcast. And again, the email address is unclethursday@gmail.com. I really do want to hear what my listeners think about this. As I said, in my particular case, it's not a huge deal. For some other people, it is a huge deal. Do you think that these caps have hurt the casual gamer or the non-raid player, which doesn't always necessarily have to be the same thing? Or do you think that this is going to help by getting people to learn how to play their class better, whatever? Do you feel that all the people that are saying learn to play are just so used to the big 40-man raids, where, honestly, there's not a whole lot of personal skill involved for parts of them, like most of Molten Core, there's not a whole lot of personal skill necessary. I'm not going to say the same thing about Blackwing Lair and AQ-40, because they do require some more personal skill. But do you think that these are the people that really just don't know how to deal with smaller groups anymore? Maybe they've got huge E-peens, as they're called, electronic penises, whatever. Let me know. I want to hear my listeners' opinions on this, because this is something that I think could be a really good show, and there might even be a chance for some listeners to get on the air. Hey, can't hurt there, right? Well, it probably could. Knowing all these small furry woodland creatures that are joining up, it probably could be kind of weird hearing the chattering of squirrels and rabbits, but I can deal with that in the future. Another new feature that has been introduced is the gold for experience at level 60. What this is anything that would give you experience when you are level 60, at which point experience is useless to you at the current time, the experience gets converted to money. I've done a few quests that I probably wouldn't have done otherwise to get some money, and it's been pretty good. It really has. Some of these quests are worth 5, 6, 7 gold. So, hey, can't go wrong there. And of course, the new Final Destination flight points have been introduced. Another nice feature where if you are, say, at Ironforge and you want to get to Booty Bay, you now no longer have to stop at Stormwind to fly all the way there. You just go, click Booty Bay, and boom, your flight gives you the whole total cost. You fly near Stormwind, you get the money taken out from Booty Bay to Stormwind, and then you fly there. This, I feel, is extremely helpful. It's a much faster way of getting to places. Well, I won't necessarily call it faster, but, you know, for those really long flights anyway, you can just go AFK and not care, because when you land, you're going to be where you want to be. Now, of course, on PvP servers, you might not want to be away from your keyboard when you land, but, you know, that's just the way things go. So, let me know what you guys think of this as well, because I want to hear your opinions on this. I do. I really do want to hear my listeners' opinions on a lot of things. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this show. Let me know how you feel. But now, we've got to get into some of the bad about 1.10. Most of this has to do with the bugs. So, let's see some of the bug effects we have here. The aura given off by the ectoplasmic distiller can make looting corpses difficult, which will not be fixed until the future patch. This, of course, means that it can be kind of hard to do the upgrade quest, because that's really when you need to use it. Apparently, some spell talents are improperly stacking with power infusion. No list as to when they're going to deal with this. Certain quests are bugged. Apparently, the quest Defenders of Darrowshire is not able to be completed at this current time. There is no listing as to when they plan on fixing this. The quest Villains of Darrowshire is Eastern Plaguelands showing up with Western Plaguelands. That's not a big deal. Alliance players are unable to interact with Frostmaw shards while on the quest Luck Be With You. It's a new quest. Hey, kind of helps if we can deal with it. Apparently, there's some item problems. Grace of Earth may aggro neutral and aggressive monsters within range. Always not good. Certain trade skill windows that can sort may not clear the text information properly. Also not good. Apparently, flight masters with factional discounts are showing improper cost on chained flight paths. This is to be fixed in a future patch. There's going to apparently be some various chain flight path fixes in a future path. And Guard Slipkick is not friendly with players after becoming the King of Gordok in the Dire Maul tribute run. This is also going to be in a future patch. There's apparently also some problems where in Alterac Valley, opening the battle map can cause an error, which will be in a future patch. Player's rested XP indicator can disappear when faction overlay is displayed. Also fixed in a future patch. There's a couple different ones. These are most of the general ones. There's a couple for Battlegrounds with the Deserter debuff, but I don't really do Battlegrounds anymore, so I really don't care. There are also, however, certain class-specific bugs. For instance, Nature's Grace is not activating correctly by hits from critical spells, which will be fixed in a future patch. Moonkin does not have a shapeshift sound. That's not a big, huge deal. Moonkin form is not displayed correctly in the character tab. Well, it wasn't displayed correctly originally, so that can be fixed. Druid's Omen of Clarity will occasionally become unable to cast and result in a spell is not ready yet warning until logged out. Future patch. Shapeshifting does not free a druid from certain weapon procs. Future patch. Hunters are having some things while using emotes while feigning death causes the hunter to animate from their own perspective. If it's just their own perspective, who really cares? Drawback sound of a bow is only triggered on the first draw, not subsequent. Who cares? Surefoot does not give a resist message when the player resists a spell. That can be a problem. Frost trap R is sent around the hunter rather than the area of the trap after the trap's initial tick. Proc rate on entrapment increases as the number of affected targets of the trap increases. Hunters will remain standing for several seconds when feigning death if the camera location is not on the character at the time of the cast. Okay, I don't know if that's client side or everybody sees that. That's not something they mention. The revived pet returns more than 15% life if the player has the endurance training talent. Eagle Eye is ending early. There are animation issues with Frost Trap. There is a period after casting Eyes of the Beast before gaining control of the pet that will break the spell if players attempt to move. Bestial Wrath is generating threat for the hunter. Hunter entrapment talent cannot proc when the hunter is casting. Okay, I don't know much about that part. Rank 9 Serpent Sting doesn't cause Aortis the Doombringer to gain stinging trauma. That will be fixed in a future patch. If you are mind-controlled while using Eyes of the Beast, your pet will not leash back to you. This will also be fixed in a future patch. Tooltips of pet abilities refer to the player rather than that of the pet. Not good. Hunter pets may change color when revived, summoned, or when zoning. There was already a pet that did this. If you ran Zul'Garub and you got a Son of Akkar as a pet, every time you revived it or resummoned it after dismissing, it would be a different color. It was actually kind of neat looking, but whatever. See, Scorpid Poison can only be used once in combat. Claw and Bite are not initiating auto attacks. Pets do not have animations for several abilities. These all, and unless I specifically say there's a future patch, these are all just listed and they have no timetables for when they're going to be fixing it. The three-piece Dragonstalker armor set bonus is remaining after the pieces are unequipped. Field Marshal's Chain Helm appears dark in direct light and bright in shadow. Future patch. That's just a graphical error. See, some mage. Counterspell is not resistible. Okay, I'd prefer it if it wasn't resistible, but whatever. Casting Polymorph on a player that is currently immune to Polymorph due to diminishing returns does not display the immune flag over the target's head, and the 15-second cooldown for diminishing returns is not reset. Using Blink while in lava causes the player to go to the deepest end. That is not good. The debuffs from Fireball and Pyroblast are not considered magic. Arcane Missiles is occupying a debuff slot. That is not good. And Cold Snap doesn't always reset Frost spell cooldowns as it is intended to. This will be in a future patch. Certain spells are not properly consuming charges of the Zandalarian Hero Charm. Also in a future patch. Let's see. Paladins. Combat long messages generated when a player gains mana from Sealer Wisdom or Judgment of Wisdom do not attribute the mana gains to any particular source. Not a huge deal, but it would be nice. Holy Light is reporting twice in combat log to enemy players. Reckoning is resetting the auto attack timer. Oh darn, not like druids and not like druids have had to deal with that forever. Shamans don't get that. Bastards. Anyway. Apparently there's some Seal of Command will occasionally become unable to be cast and result in a spell is not ready yet error message. There are quite a few others for paladins, actually. Priest. Levitate spell will occasionally cause a player to disconnect when colliding with terrain. This is a future patch, so priests be wary about using your levitate. Certain priest racial spells are incorrectly consuming Zandalarian Hero Charm charges. Also future patch. The Horde Priest cancels mind control that is on an Alliance player who was previously attacking a Horde Guard. The card will become hostile towards the Horde Priest, and this works from the Alliance to Horde as well. Touch of Weakness can be stacked up to 6 times, but the debuff does not stack. Future patch. Yeah, it's not too bad for most of them. Mana Burn is not interrupting flag captures. Okay, that could be bad. Casting Mind Flay consecutively can cause the second Mind Flay to cast with no spell animation. 30-minute cooldown timer activated by transforming Anathema to Benediction is not functioning properly. Rogues, failing to use an item will break stealth. Future patch. Threat reduction modifiers such as Blessing of Salvation and Tranquil Air Totem are applied to Feint, making it less effective. That's very bad. Very bad. You will receive improper message when attempting to stealth while under the effects of Fairy Fire. Okay. When a rogue with improved sap saps a target, it sometimes appears as if the character exits stealth. I've seen this. It looks like they have left stealth, but the mobs don't attack them. They move away. Distract can trigger a proc on Lightning Shield and similar effects. Future patch. It should be noted that this was mentioned to have been fixed for 1.10 initially. But now they're saying it's still broken. Improved kick is not giving 5-second lock to schools of the interrupted spells. This is also a future patch. Using slice and dice can put you back on a mob's threat list. Vanishing will cause Arcadius, I'm not sure who he is, to go into evade mode. Applying poisons will cancel stealth, future patch. Failing to use an item, they already mentioned that one, yay. Shaman. Certain area effect spells are damaging totems, future patch. This also was mentioned to have been fixed for 1.10. Water walking produces the wrong sound when running on water, who cares? Improved self-reincarnation does not affect the reincarnation tooltip. Okay, that can be a little bad. Chromagus' blood afflictions will target totems. Fire Nova totem is damaging players in neutral towns without drawing aggro from the guards. That is bad. Skill points earned from two-handed axes and maces are lost when unlearning talents. That's been around forever. And I don't remember seeing that saying it was fixed for 1.10. But we'll see. Grounding totem is not preventing a mage counterspell. Okay. See, Warlock, who cares about the hooves are transparent on the dead Dreadsteed. Here's one. The Dreadsteed of Zoroth summoning encounter will sometimes spawn imps that do not move. That could be bad if you're trying to get that. Players can keep Demonic Sacrifice buff along with a pet when the pet is resurrected. Curse of Agony does not deal damage if the caster dies. Infernals can be struck when summoned. When dying for the first time in the battleground, you may come back with a different pet type. Rank 2 of Improved Firebolt is not consistent with this tooltip. 2 Soul Shards may be given when a target dies. This will be fixed in a future patch. There's just so many to deal with. Take a quick look at the Warriors. One of the ones that is pretty bad to not be having is Rage generated by Shield Specialization is not shown. Anger management causes rage regeneration. That's not supposed to happen. Whirlwind increases weapon skill when not attacking mobs. Quick warriors go out and raise your weapon skills. Sunder armor is consuming a streaking, sweeping strikes charge. That could be bad. There's a couple others for there. Basically, that's a lot. Then there was some other stuff that happened. For the raiders, Onyxia was bugged all to hell. She would constantly do her deep breath attack during phase 2, and this was causing extreme wipes. There were also talk of problems where you would get down to 1% and your entire raid would disconnect from the server. Good job there. So there was also some Chromagus problems where he was doing way more damage than he was supposed to. This was not the world's most smooth patch transition by far. It really wasn't. There are a lot of bugs that still need to be fixed. Some of these bugs, again, were mentioned on the test realm and still made it live. I realize this isn't something we should be surprised at, because 75 to 95% of the bugs that do get mentioned from the test realms on their bug servers, on their on their bug forums and on their test realm forums, make it to live anyway, and some of them don't get fixed for months. So we're gonna have to see what happens with all these bugs. It would really be nice if Blizzard had some better quality assurance people for these patches, but I realize in the MMO market you have a problem where you're expected to get content out as fast as possible. and you can't have quality assurance with getting stuff out as fast as possible. They are mutually exclusive. You either quality check it, make sure it works, make sure that most of the bugs are gone, or you throw it out there as fast as possible. You can't do both. There's just not enough time to do both. So, let's see what goes on here. That's some of the bad about 1.10. Mostly bugs. Mostly stuff. It's, again, though, none of the bugs are as damaging to the game, for the most part, as a lot of the bugs that happened with 1.9, which was quite possibly the worst patch ever released by Blizzard. So, we'll have to see what happens. I really can't say how long it's going to be for some of these things to be fixed. And I should also mention that when it says future patch, this does not necessarily mean 1.11, 1.12. What it could mean is 1.10.1 or 1.10.2, whatever, that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't put it past some of them to make it through to 1.11 or later, which has happened with previous bugs in the past. So, we're going to have to see what goes on there. Now, I know I already discussed the new caps on the dungeons, but I wanted to go back to that for just a second. There was a post recently made by Ionix mentioning that prior to patch 1.10, mini-bosses near the end of Scholomance were designed to drop a random green the majority of the time, with a small chance of dropping the blue. Now, as we all know, most of those greens have gotten upgraded. The Cadaverous set, the Deathbone set, that sort of stuff. Instead of having one piece that is blue, now the entire set is blue. However, he also writes, when we decided to improve the loot in Scholomance from green to blue, we also decided to lower the drop rate on the actual items which dropped from the mini-bosses, since these encounters do not warrant blue item drops every time. So we took the green items which dropped from the mini-bosses, improved their statistical values, converted them to blue, and lowered their drop rate. We decided to fill in the rest of the loot table with trade skill items and things such as Dark Runes, Skin of Shadows, since, as already stated, these mini-bosses do not warrant a guaranteed blue drop every kill. This apparently didn't go over very well, because with the new cap, one of the things that was mentioned in the patch notes was that drop rates were improved. And lowering the drop rates doesn't sound like an improvement to most people. So he goes on to write, the end result of this change is that many of you will only receive a single blue item after killing the 6 mini-bosses. While we do feel these changes were justified, we realize that it doesn't feel very rewarding given that a number of you were accustomed to the previous drop situation. So in an upcoming patch, we are making additional improvements that will guarantee 2 blue items upon clearing the mini-bosses, as well as preserve the increased drop rate brought about with 1.10 over all items which drop from the mini-bosses. Okay. I don't know if I'm just dumb here, but he just mentioned preserve the increased drop rate while saying that they lowered the drop rate. Now, to me, that's kind of an oxymoron. It really is. I mean, let's think about this for just a second. We've increased the drop rate, but lowered it at the same time. They increased the quality of the drops, but lowered the drop rate. So, and we're going to have to see what that's going to mean. And a lot of people have commented on that post, and they've said basically what a lot of people are saying, which is there was already very little incentive to run Scholomance as a 5-man group to begin with. One of the only reasons being if you have an alchemist who needs to get the major mana potion. Then there is the other reason, which is now to get your Dungeon 1 cap. But of course, you have to kill all 6 mini-bosses in order to spawn Gandling. So, you know, a lot of people just look at this and say, look, it's not an instance that people want to run. It wasn't an instance people wanted to run 10-man a lot of times either. Now they have to run it 5-man. Now you've taken one of the only things that people would run it for, which would be the loot, and made it so that they're not getting any loot, for the most part. And most people are going to say, you know what, fuck it, we're not running Scholomance. I see a hell of a lot less Scholomance runs nowadays since 1.10 came out, because nobody liked it. Nobody ever really liked Scholomance to begin with. The drops within it didn't warrant going there, for the most part, except for your cap, and the few other dungeon one set pieces that dropped off of one or two of the other bosses. And Warlocks had the real shit deal where they had such a hard time getting people to go kill Jandis Barov, because that's where their dungeon one set shoulder piece dropped. And hardly anybody, and I've been in one group that ever went and killed that. One. Out of 50 plus runs, one group has decided to go kill Jandis Barov. And we didn't even have a warlock. We just decided, alright, we've killed Gandling, let's go back and kill this other boss, see what she drops. So, you know, you really gotta look at this and go, why? Why bother? There's so many people that just look at it and say there is no point in running Scholomance anymore. None. And I gotta agree to a point. If you're not getting anything from a boss, some of the bosses, people are complaining, they're only dropping money. They're not even dropping, you know, a Skin of Shadows or even a Scourge Stone. And that could be pretty annoying, to go kill something that used to drop something, even if it was just a green item that you were just going to sell or disenchant, and now it drops nothing. That can piss off a lot of people. That would be like saying, okay, Ragnaros, we decided that dropping Tier 2 pants... They were dropping a little bit too much. So now we've removed all of his other drops as drop slots. So he has one drop slot, so he's going to drop one item. And you'd hear the hardcore raiders go ballistic, because they're not going to go kill Ragnaros to get, you know, potentially nothing that's of use to anyone in the raid. So, it's kind of the same thing with the Scholomance thing. Personally, I never really liked Scholomance. I hated the place. I would run UD Strat a billion times before I'd run Scholomance again, because it's just more fun than Scholomance. Scholomance is a pain in the ass. The only reason I'm even considering running it later is because I now have a quest that's going to pay me like 6 gold for completing it. That's the only reason I'm going to go, and I don't even have to go very far. I just have to get past the first 2 rooms, kill a bunch of whelplings, and then leave, and I'm done. Can do that in 10 minutes. So, I don't know. I don't particularly like their reasoning for lowering the drop rates is, well, these bosses don't deserve it. But then you say, yeah, but you know what? The trash in Molten Core doesn't deserve to drop Bind on Equip Epics either. So, I mean, there's a pretty big discrepancy here that I don't agree with, and I'd like to hear your comments on this as well. Not that your comments or mine are actually going to change things, but what do you think? Do you think these bosses should drop more than nothing? Do you think they should drop blues now that you're forced to go through 5-man, and again, nobody really likes running Scholomance to begin with? Let me know. Let me know what you think. So, before I bring this to a close, we're going to talk a little bit about 1.11 and what we know. We already know that 1.11 was supposed to be the Mage Talent Review, but now it apparently is going to be the Mage and Shaman Review. Personally, I think Shaman should actually have their own full patch, because if they're going to get a lot of PvE viability, there really has to be a balancing, because they're already the most PvP viable class out there. Also, in 1.11, they're implementing a non-consumable version of the Aqua Quintessence available to players once they become revered with the Hydraxian Warlords, which will allow people to do Molten Core without having to run to the Hydraxian Warlords as much when they get later in the instance and need that. There is also talk that either in 1.11 or 1.12, there is going to be a new addition to the Battlegrounds, in which players will auto-join groups as soon as they enter the battlegrounds. So we'll see how that goes. Other than that, don't have a whole lot of information on what's coming in 1.11, so I'm going to pretty much let this one go. Like I say, please check out the site, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Add yourself to my Frapper map there. send me comments, either in the comments section for each podcast or at UncleThursday@gmail.com. I am going to get to E3 this year, it looks. So, episode 9, this is 8.5. Learn how to count, Sam. Learn to count. That will probably end up being a little later than I initially anticipated. I'm going to be doing E3 episodes, but I need something from you guys before I do that. And my next show will be a pre-E3 show, in which case, that will be where I tell you what I need from you guys. So, until then, I'll see you later.